You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We're still pumping these things out. This is the third show of the week. I think that's going to be basically what you can expect throughout the course of the summer, the next month or so, two or three shows per week. But we're going to keep going. We'll figure something out to talk about, and today we're answering your mailbag questions. We tweeted it out, hashtag Rainin' Jays for the serious question, hashtag Rainin' Junk for the goofy questions. And we, the Rainin' Jays, John Corrales, that's me of MassLive.com, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam!
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam!
A.K.A. Young Baby Jamwich.
Jam!
We're going to be the ones answering your questions today. And so that's it. There's no more to tell you about what the rest of the show is going to be. Segment one, two, and three, answering your questions. And we're just going to do it. So there you go. Now you know what the show is all about. Let's dive into these questions. Starting with at Adjectivo 1977. And he asks, I'm assuming it's a he. I don't know why. Because there's no picture, there's no nothing. But how do you?
It's adjectivo, not adjectiva. I'm with you on that one.
There you go. How do you rank the Celtics centers as partners in the pick and roll for Kemba Walker? We know Kemba is a big pick and roll guy. He was the number one pick and roll point guard last year in the NBA. So ranking the centers. This is tough because we don't know what Vincent Poirier is going to be, how he's going to be in the pick and roll. I don't know much about him. So
the big baguette.
Yeah. Is that what we're going with?
That's how nicknames work for me. I guess one gets stuck in my brain. I just stick with it forever. And yeah, the big baguette is what I've gone with so far.
We get it with the French Le Grand Baguette.
Ooh, I like that. You had a little spice on that French accent there. Yeah. We have no idea what he's going to be, but he dresses real cool, wears a lot of Versace, and looks good in shorts.
Yeah. He looks the part. So it's possible. So I guess I'm not going to rank him. So in the remaining pick and roll partners, I'm going to say until we learn more about, first of all, it's the French Vincent Poirier. That's what I was
thinking. His name's Vincent?
Vincent Poirier.
Oh, man, French, that guy fucks. That's so cool.
So I'm going to go with Enes Kanter, obviously, at first. I mean, he's an actual pick and roll center that knows how to play. I'm going to say in the pick and roll, would you go with, first of all, do you agree with Kanter as number one?
Yeah, I think Kanter has to be number one. I feel like, I don't think pick and pop is like really Enes Kanter's game, but I think he can do it more than Robert Williams at this point, who I think is number two. I just think in terms of setting the pick, in terms of being a sturdy body and being physical and like actually making body contact with the guy guarding Kemba, I think it has to be Kanter.
Yeah, so now who's number two? I'm leaning Robert Williams in a pick and roll situation.
Just for sheer lob potential alone.
Yeah. I think there's something to that. Like that gravity of him rolling down the middle of the lane means something, I think. So I think there's something there. But for pick and pop, Daniel Tice is the only guy who can actually pop out to three and catch and shoot. So it's kind of in between. I also don't think that Tice is generally setting the greatest picks in the world, but I don't know. So that's going to be, I'm not going to spend too much time on that.
Yeah. I mean, Time Lord's the rolling big, Tice is the popping big. I think Canner, he can certainly roll. I don't think he's like as good. He can't stretch the floor, although they seem to be saying that he can. So maybe he'll be similar in that one, but I just think he's the most complete, complete roll man in the, out of all the centers. And we'll see with La Grande Baguette.
La Grande Baguette. See what he does. All right. At Truth Faustina. So this is going to be a theme. So we'll shout out all the people who ask lineup questions. There are a few of them. So let's get, he wants to know the ideal starting and closing lineup. We got at Old Man Marks, what is the 8-man Celtics rotation by midseason or the playoffs? We've got a few other lineup questions. At Ball and Opinions, what are the predictions for the starting five opening night? So let's just kind of roll all those in. So I'm guessing opening night, we know Kemba, Jalen. Well, okay, no. We know Kemba, Tatum. I'm going to guess Cantor. I think Jalen, and then that fifth one is really going to be interesting. What do you think?
That's a tough one. It's like, who do you want? It's really, the question is like, who do you trust most to be the sixth man? It feels like Marcus Smart, wherever he plays, can make a difference and like be an impact player no matter where he is. And in terms of switching roles, we've seen that's something that Jalen kind of struggled with last year, and maybe it's something Marcus is more capable of doing. Then there's also Gordon Hayward, who had his stint coming off the bench last year, and the question is whether or not you want him, Hayward, to be like the second ball handler and kind of stagger the minutes. Right now I would think that Marcus Smart is going to be your sixth man, and you'd start, you go Kemba, Jalen, Tatum, Hayward, or Hayward, Tatum, and then Cantor. I don't know. I think it's going to be a classic situation where Brad does a lot of experimenting earlier on in the season. As for the starting or for the ending lineup, I think it really depends on the team they're playing. I think if there's not a legitimate like big in there, we could see the very small lineup of including Smart and Hayward and just going real small to close lineups. But if they're playing someone like the Sixers with Embiid, or the Bucks with Robin Lopez, or even like any of the top teams in the East who have legitimate center, I still think they're going to have to close with someone like Canner, just because their small lineup with those five kind of wing players is just real small. Like, you just can't – I know we joke about Marcus Smart, and he might like add 30 pounds of muscle this offseason and play more five, but there's just it's really tough to like consistently run that out. So I think we're going to see more Canner closing games than at this point we'd like.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with most of that. I don't, that fourth starter, eventually in my best case scenario, like answering the middle of the season playoff, like maybe you get Grant Williams to fill a role as your starting four. That is ambitious, horribly ambitious. I don't want to put that on this kid, and I don't want to overreact to Summer League too much, but at the same time, he is the exact type, I think, of player the Celtics need in this situation, because Kemba's a scorer. Jalen and Jason both scorers. Cantor will be is a scorer. That's all he does. Having a guy like Grant in there, who is the right size and who is smart and who is willing to not be a scorer and do all of the other little things, like that is exactly what they need. And that would allow Smart and Hayward to come off the bench. And I'm hoping that Hayward is okay with that this year, and because that allows a lot of flexibility. Just right now on paper, I like that rotation a lot more. Hayward and Smart off the bench, you can, if you want to go defensively, in, you know, Smart obviously, and Hayward can be pretty good defensively if he's, you know, 100%. But you know, Hayward can come in and be a ball handler. Like, both those guys can be ball handlers. You can play, you can move Kemba off the ball if you want to do that. So I just like that scenario. So I'm hoping eventually that the Celtics get there.
Do we really trust Grant Williams to, like, rookie to play that much serious minutes? Like,
no,
we're talking about the 8-man rotation. I don't think he's in the top 8 right now. I feel like Tice will get more minutes than he will. Ogilvy will definitely, like, if there is going to close small, I could see Ogilvy playing some minutes at the 5, just being a solid defender there. We know he can kind of knock down corner threes, where I'm less confident about Grant's, just because I haven't seen him do it in real games. Seen him make some threes in summer league. So I agree with you. Like, ideally he could grow into that. And because of, like, the kind of, they don't really have many other fours. That's the thing about the Celtics big man rotation, is like, they're all, I feel like they're fives. Like, I don't think any of their Tice, Robert Williams, Cantor, or Vincent can play the 5. So Grant Williams has this opportunity as someone who can kind of be that, a stretch player, but I just don't think he's getting minutes over Semi Ojeleye right now. And so I agree that I agree that he ideally you'd have someone step up, because the Celtics don't really have a great options at that 5 spot or that 4 spot right now, but I just don't know. It feels like Brad Stevens isn't the nicest to rookies.
Well, so definitely agree. I, like I said before, it's more hopeful because I like the idea of him growing into that role. I don't want to, like I said, horribly ambitious. I don't know that's going to happen. What about the idea of starting Shemmy? And it still keeps the other things intact, but Shemmy as a stretch, you know, he could play the 4. I mean, he's strong enough.
I feel like you can only put Shemmy out there at the 5. I don't know. I would worry about playing Shemmy and Cantor out there, because then you're just shooting is not great. I mean, at that point, even if Jaylen Brown, he's a decent 3-point shooter, but, like, the only people you ever have faith in to taking, I guess Jaylen improved his 3-point shot towards the second half of last season, but I'm just, like, that feels like a floor clogging lineup. Even though I just talked about how Shemmy could knock down corner threes, it's just like if you're going to put Cantor out there, I feel like you really want to surround him with 4 shooters. It's going to be tough to – I don't see the Celtics playing a lot of 2 big lineups this year.
No, I don't know that there are 2 bigs that they could put out there together, unless they decide that they want to try maybe Tice at the 4, which I don't like.
No, they just don't have any 4s on the roster. That's why Grant Williams has this opportunity to step up. I just don't – I just don't know if he can do it. I mean, I like the kid, but he's a rookie. Rookies don't normally aren't that successful, especially number 20 picks.
Yep. We really are going to have to see what Poirier is as far as an NBA-level player. Like, he obviously was good enough in Europe to draw this attention. He got a decent sized contract. He said he's not coming over here to sit on the bench. So he's going to play. It's how good is he going to be? How good is he going to be defensively? And there are a lot of questions. There's just a lot of questions. So it's hard to pick lineups right now. We'll just, that's my best guess for the lineups at this point. There's so many things up in the air. We have to see what preseason, like, what do we see in preseason that is confirming or debunking things that we saw in summer league? Like, that's a big thing. And that brings us to a question from Justin GMU Hokey, who asks of the Rain and Jays, which players most likely to shake up our preseason expectations of rotation minutes? So, Well, I mean, I think there are 2 candidates off the top of my head. Poirier, like I just said, he could. We don't know what he is, who he is. He can come in and all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, he's the starter, and be done. And the other guy is Romeo Langford, who...
That was going to be my pick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just we've seen all this, like, the Summer League. There's a lot of hype around the Summer League Celtics, a lot of hype around Carson Edwards going to get a bucket. But because we didn't see Romeo Langford, it feels like there's been no real expectations set for him. But he was the number, 14 pick? He was the highest regarded prospect. He can really... It seems to be his expertise is getting to the rim, and it's something the Celtics have always struggled with. It feels like there's an opportunity for some the backup guard. I don't necessarily think it's going to be given to Carson Edwards. I know Brad Wanamaker is going to be like, I guess, the third point guard. But just in terms of a guy, a wing or a guard who can score off the bench or attack off the bench, it feels like the Celtics are in constant need of that. And so I can definitely see especially if Jaylen Brown's a starting, I guess, two guard, although we should note that positions are meaningless and Brad would rather play an amorphous blob. But if you think about the traditional two guard role, especially if Jaylen's the starting shooting guard, then I can see Langford being the backup with Marcus Smart running the point and kind of having it on that second unit. So I think Langford has an opportunity just because of kind of expectations set already to make some noise in a way, just because we haven't really seen him. And I think he has the highest ceiling out of anyone the Celtics drafted.
Yeah. And the thing about him is he still is developing his jump shot. I feel like he has maybe the highest potential of all of the rookies, but maybe a little bit slower to get to where the Celtics need him to be. But he definitely could come in and change some minds real quick. And one possibility when it comes to Langford is how he eventually impacts Jaylen Brown, because they're both around the same height and Jaylen Brown's contract is coming up. And if you have Langford being effective as a rookie, and you have him on your rookie deal, then you have this possibility of now Jaylen Brown being, I don't want to say expendable, but like possibly. And that brings us to at Jake Salmon 13, who asks, do you expect Jaylen Brown to be a Celtic past this upcoming season, or is he more likely to be involved in a trade? The possibility of Langford eventually showing enough to say, we believe in his ceiling more than we believe in Jaylen Brown's ceiling, or we believe in his ceiling. We believe his ceiling is going to be close to Jaylen Brown's, and we're not going to pay what Jaylen is looking for, because Jaylen's probably going to be looking for max or close to max money. I think there's a possibility that Jaylen Brown, this could be Jaylen Brown's last season as a Celtic. Unless he shows that he really deserves that big contract, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some move during this year that involves Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially when you see the players in Jaylen Brown's draft classes and the extensions they're getting. Ben Simmons got an absurd number. What did Jamal Murray got? $170 million over his next contract. I don't know if the Celtics are quite ready to pay that. I think the thing that's most interesting is that there's not a lot of stars on the market next year, next free agency, and there's going to be some teams who struck out who still have cap room. So I think the likelihood of some team offering Jaylen Brown a big bag in restricted free agency and the Celtics just going, okay, like we're not willing to pay that to you right now. It's interesting. I don't know if the Celtics are willing to trade Jaylen Brown right now, because I just don't know who the, like, would you just trade him for draft picks? Are they more in of a recycle mode of trying to get more future assets for a star down the line? Or is Jaylen Brown like the centerpiece of a trade, maybe for everyone? The hot name on the streets is Bradley Beal. I don't know if he would be like the part of a package to do something like that, but I do, just given the contract circumstances, I think there's, out of anyone on the team, I think he's most likely to be traded, but I don't know. Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on how the Celtics look, how they play. I mean, they're still going to be a very competitive team. I don't think anyone has any hopes of actual title contention, but it's like, do you trade away a significant piece on like a team that's likely to be a top four team in the East? It's kind of a difficult position because now the Celtics are in the kind of Atlanta Hawks mode of yesteryear where they're not good enough to be title contenders, but they're still very solid. And it's, you got to be very strategic about how you build your team going around off that position. It's like you could kind of take a step back and just go for assets, or you could keep kind of holding on to your good players until maybe a star emerges. I don't know. It's going to be interesting with Jaylen Brown, but I do see I wouldn't be like shocked out of anyone if he was the guy who got traded.
I wouldn't be surprised. And the Bradley Beal situation is one to watch because they're going to offer him an extension any day now, whenever that it's eligible. They're going to offer him that extension. If he doesn't want to sign it, then they may have to change their tune on Bradley Beal. And I think Jaylen Brown could be a guy that interests them. The Celtics have young players that could interest the Washington Wizards. So that wouldn't be shocking at all. It would help the Celtics this year. Things are kind of open. And if you upgrade Jaylen Brown to Bradley Beal, and he happens to be a very close friend of Jason Tatum, now all of a sudden you've got two stars on the perimeter. Your point guard, your shooting guard are really, really good. And then you add Tatum and obviously Smart and Hayward. Like that's a pretty nice mix right there. Is it a championship mix? I don't know. This year, maybe not, but it definitely pushes you in the right direction. So I would not be shocked. I almost wouldn't be shocked at anything, but I also would not be surprised that of the Celtics anticipating a big restricted free agent offer. You have to overpay restricted free agents anyway. So somebody's going to pony up. If they really want Jaylen Brown, they're going to have to offer him max money. And he'd be an idiot to turn that down. Of course he's going to sign an offer sheet somewhere for max money. And I don't think the Celtics would be interested in matching that. So that could change the dynamic significantly. Why don't we take a break? We'll take a break. We'll come back. More Rain and Jays. And then we'll finish the show in the third segment with the Rain and Junk. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of taco questions coming up, including right after the break. Stay with us. More of the Locked On Celtics podcast coming up in a couple minutes.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Taco Fall was officially signed by the Boston Celtics.
Woo-hoo!
Thursday. Funny thing is that it was almost misleading. The Celtics didn't mislead anybody. They put out a release that said they officially signed these players. They didn't release the contract information, but Adam Himmelsbach says it was just an Exhibit 10 contract. The same contract as before. It was nothing special. He's not guaranteed a spot. It wasn't a two-way contract. Those are still going to Max Strus.
Old babyface.
And Tremont Waters. So Taco is still in the exact same situation he was before.
But now it's official.
Now it's official. So there's that. So at Smiley Jogger asks, Taco Fall contract, what's better, two-way or a 10-day? Will Taco be a Celtic for the 2019-20 season?
I think Taco Fall will dress for at least 6 Celtics games this season. Ooh. I think he's going to spend the majority of his time in Maine, but I think there will be some moments, just mostly due to injury and random happenstance, that he is in Boston with the team and dresses. And I think of those 6 games, he will get into 2 or maybe 3, and everyone's going to love it. But I don't really think there's going to be that much Taco in Boston this year. I think Taco is going to be a main entity. I think you should go up to Portland, you should get some season tickets now, support the Red Claws, and just embrace Taco as much as you can up in Maine, because that's where I see him. The 10, this crazy new contract, which I've never even heard of before Taco signed it, is just to basically get him into training camp. They're not even – he could still hypothetically be signed away by an NBA team, correct?
Yeah.
After training camp. So he just becomes like a normal G League player. So who knows? Maybe someone else will just like – as he just like displays that he's his true power, and some team swoops in and says, we need the Taco.
So I don't want to answer this question because people are going to hate my answer, and I don't think he's going to be a Celtic. I think what the Celtics want to do is what I've been saying all along, that they want to bring him to camp, cut him, and stash him, quote-unquote stash, because it's not really a stash, but sign him to the Red Claws. And from there, develop and see what he's got. The problem with that is it's not like he's part of the Celtics and he's assigned to the Red Claws. He will sign with the Red Claws essentially as a free agent, but through this mechanism that really gives the Celtics first dibs. That does not mean he's part of the roster. It also means he is an NBA free agent. So another team can come along and be like, here's guaranteed money, and he's gone. The other thing is, there's no call-up. You can't, in this situation, if that happens, you can't call him up and just be like, oh, yeah, we've recalled Taco Fall from the Red Claws, because he's not on the roster. They'd have to keep that roster spot open, and then they would actually have to sign him to a contract to come play for Boston. So it's complicated. If he impresses during training camp and the preseason, if he goes out there and the Celtics say, no, we cannot risk another team taking this guy, then they could upgrade one of the two-way guys and give Taco a two-way contract, which would pay him like $250,000, which is a lot more than he would get as a regular G League guy. And then they could call him up for a few games. I'm not entirely confident in that. And I'm also not entirely confident that he's going to be good enough to make that last roster spot. I hate to say it. Taco is fun. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. He works his ass off. No doubt about any of that stuff. I'd like to keep him around. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Is there some way they can circumvent the salary cap and pay him to be kind of like Lucky's apprentice or even the new Lucky? And then they can keep him around. People will get their fair share. It's probably not fair to Taco, now that I'm saying it out loud, to reduce his NBA basketball dreams to being a mascot for the fans. But I'm just trying to think creatively of how to keep him in town, because I agree with you. It's just I just don't see the clear path forward for Taco to be on the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, and really, what's the best case scenario? I'm looking at this guy. Okay, he's super tall, which you obviously can't coach anybody to becoming 7'6". But what's the best case scenario? What's he going to be? How much is he going to play? Are you going to invest the roster spot in this guy who? I've talked about this with a couple of people here on the podcast, I think with Jay and with Tom Westerholm. Like, what's his ceiling? Boban? Like,
Boban can at least shoot free throws.
Yeah.
Taco can. Taco gets on the court, you just hack him. And
yeah. I like him again. I like him. I feel like maybe he'll be a professional basketball player somewhere. I don't know that it's going to be in the NBA, at least not right away. And which sucks, because he's really developing good friendships with all of these guys. Him and Grant Williams are like super friends now. Like, they're awesome. And
they're singing Houdini together.
I mean, seriously, like, that's just,
friends. How many of us have them talking about friends?
That was a fun moment. but all right, I'm going to stop because people are probably going to hate me after that Taco Fall take. At Always Bleed Grun, GRN. That's the way to get out of Always Bleed Green, which was probably taken. This is Katie. What was the real reason Kyrie wanted to leave? From the reports that came out, he decided only a couple of months into the season, were our young guys too good or too headstrong? And I mean that as a positive. Our young guys are smart and mature. Was it Stevens? So all of the things that, like, you hear Jackie McMullen on podcasts talking, and you just kind of try to piece together some of the things that Danny Ainge said. So I think part of it was the allure of going home. Like, he just kind of wanted to go home. That's something that you couldn't fight. And even when he was talking about staying here, he still talked about going home. And Jackie McMullen, she said it on the Hoop Collective. She said it on Michael Holly podcast. She basically said that he kind of lost faith in Danny and in Brad for some reason. He didn't. Maybe he wanted Danny Ainge to make a move, and Danny didn't. And he just didn't like that he wouldn't do something. And he publicly, like, that Charlotte game at the end of last season, when the Celtics blew a massive lead, Kyrie came out at the end, was like, yeah, we didn't double team like most teams do, and clearly calling out Brad Stevens. So something there, he just ended up not being happy. And I don't know if he got away from LeBron as fast as he could, but he's trying to act like LeBron a lot. If he's pissed that Danny Ainge wouldn't make a move or wasn't doing the things that he wanted him to do, and if he was pissed that the coach wasn't doing the things that he wanted him to do, it's a very LeBron thing to want, like, the organization to kind of bend to your whim. So it's complicated, and I don't know the real reason, but those all seem to be contributing factors.
It's really tough to try and draw a logical conclusion from what ever happened with Kyrie Irving, just because it's so laughable, it's so delightfully insane. Just if you follow the timeline, like, October he announces that he's coming back, November he releases an ad saying that he's going to wear number 11 and no one else will, and then reportedly in December he's already talking about to Spencer Dinwiddie about leaving and saying these ominous messages about New York's going to be crazy next year. New York's going to be pretty fun to play when. And so it's just something clearly went wrong. But just the fact that he made that announcement unprompted and then starred in that commercial and then changed his mind so quickly. It's just, I don't know if you can read like a logical thing. I don't know if there's a specific event that happened like November 30th that really pissed him off or he like made him just decide. But yeah, he clearly, his faith in the Celtics was lost somewhere, but I have no idea where that happened because nothing makes sense. Literally in October, November, he was fully in, like enough to make commercials fully in, and then completely did a 180. And it's just at this point, it's funny. His entire tenure with the Celtics is downright hilarious.
Well, how about this? We're looking at things as what happened to make Kyrie change his mind. What if he'd never changed his mind? And
that's a distinct possibility. He could have just made those ads and made that announcement as a goof or as a lark.
Well, yeah, like you come out in before the season and say, I don't want to spend a whole year answering these goddamn questions about my future. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put him to bed right now. Watch this. Go out there. If you'll have me back, I plan on re-signing. Boom, done. Media doesn't have to ask questions about your future. You do one day of media saying, yeah, you know, I kind of feel like blah, 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 whatever he said. And it's done. And it worked perfectly. Like, nobody asked questions about his future until the Anthony Davis mess. And if that never happened, he would have skated this whole season. And then the commercial, was like red meat to Celtics fans. And what's the point of a commercial? To sell sneakers. Like, that's all he wanted to do was sell sneakers in that commercial. And he didn't, I don't know if he wrote that commercial or what, but somebody came up with that idea. It's not all him. There are people who write scripts. There are ad companies out there that put these things together. Like, that was all geared towards selling sneakers. So maybe, and I don't know, but maybe he just felt this way all along and
was intentionally devious. I like that. It's very plausible.
I mean, doesn't
like,
that
he could have just said, he could have just said it to be like, this is what the people want to hear. Like, this will make people happy. I want to say, like, I don't believe it, but like, in the moment, people are going to be very pleased to hear this. So why not? Anything is possible with Kyrie Irving. He's just a delightfully, I was going to say insane, but I don't think he's actually insane. He's just a barrel of whimsy. You just never know what you're going to get.
He's a unique guy. He's a unique guy for sure. Whatever it was. It's over now. At McGar mentions, what's the lowdown on Max Struss? Why did he get a spot so quickly?
That's a good question that I don't have an answer for.
Well, first of all, it's a two-way deal. So it doesn't cost them anything, really. It's not a roster spot. It's a two-way deal. And he might have been getting attention from somebody else. He's a shooter, and he's a good shooter. So they wanted to give him a shot, and it's a two-way deal. They can get rid of that two-way deal. If he sucks, they can cut him. And it doesn't leave dead money on the cap. It's basically consequence free, except for poor Max, who in that situation would be cut. But if they wanted to get rid of him, they just get rid of him, give another guy a two-way contract. There's no limit to that. You don't have one guy that has to get that the whole year. He could just, if it's not working out, he's gone. You bring a new one in, forget it. If he sucks in training camp and they're like, oh, ooh, this was a mistake, cut him, give that to Taco, they could do that. So I don't think there's anything special to it other than they liked the guy and they wanted to get a closer look at him, and this was their way of doing it.
I just Googled him, image search. He looks like he's got a great head of hair, and so why not take a flyer on him? He can shoot. He looks good in a jersey. I don't think there's that much to it. Just with two ways, it's really, you're not looking to add significant like roster, someone who's like going to be in your rotation. You're basically taking a flyer on a guy who could be good. And if this guy can just, Struss can just be a knockdown shooter, like people have made entire careers out of just moving without the basketball and being a knockdown shooter, like Kyle Korver, JJ Redick, another white guy. I think it's certainly possible. So, I don't know. It's just a two-way. I think that's the key thing to think about.
That's it. He's a 6'6 guy who can shoot. If he can go out there and play some okay defense, then maybe he's worth a look. Then that's basically what it boils down to. Final Rain and Jay's question comes from Coach Feeney, at Coach Feeney. After last year's chemistry issues with Hayward, do you all have any fear with Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart playing together at USA's training camp without Hayward, then tossing Gordon into that group rather than letting the five of them learn how to play together? I don't have any fears of those guys playing together. It's not like they're going to go play at camp together for a month with Team USA and then come to Boston and be like, oh my God, we can't figure out how to play with Gordon Hayward. Like, that's they'll figure it out. Like they'll work it out. And those four guys aren't always going to be playing together at the same time anyway. So
yeah, it's not like Team USA is only going to play a lineup of four Celtics and another like player. I think they're going to mix and match. I just don't see it as being that big an issue. I know like the USA training camp, I don't know this, but I'm just going to say it because it feels right. I don't think they're going to take away from any time the Celtics would be in training camp. And so I think they're going to have ample opportunity to come together as a team. And I just don't think it affects it at all. Like, I don't think there was that much chemistry issues with Hayward in terms of like players not liking him. I know people talk about like they didn't like that he got minutes early on. They didn't like that because he was still hurt. I'm imagining Hayward's not going to be still hurt. And so the idea there are going to be chemistry issues, I'm just not as concerned about that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. It's going to be a different situation. So I think it's fine. I'm all for those guys playing at Team USA. So and I think they'll be able to reintegrate him fine. If it doesn't work for some reason, it won't be because they were at Team USA together and formed some sort of clique that excluded Gordon Hayward. I think if it doesn't work, it just the mix of people doesn't work. Time to take a break. When we come back, Rain and Junk.
Junk!
Junk. We turn the show over to Jam, and we go through the junk, and that's what you've been waiting for. Hopefully you didn't skip past all this other stuff just to get to the junk drawer, although I wouldn't blame you if you did. Stick around. That is next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We have cleared the deck of the Rain and Jays questions. It is now time to hand the keys to this car over to Jam Packard for the Rain and Junk.
Ooh, first edition of the Summer Junk Mailbag. I think this is where the junk really got started. So we're going to kick it off with at Ball and Opinions. If the Celtics players turn into the Avengers, which ones would they be? Now, I'm going to say this right now. I don't know. I don't care for superhero movies. It's just not for me. I got dragged to watching one of them about the Infinity Stones. It was entirely confusing. They were trying to weave 20 different movies into one. What kind of crazy thing is that? Did anyone know that these aren't real? That it's just all made up? I don't know. I'm not an Avengers guy. Never been a superhero guy. I think it's all bunk. I know that people like it. I've been scared to share this opinion, but it's all silly to me.
Okay. I actually did a little research into this. I have actual answers.
Well, I'll evaluate them based on my extensive knowledge of the Avengers and Marvel Universe.
Okay, so, and I'm not a comic book guy, so I could be off on these, but okay, so I'm looking at the Avengers website here. So, first one up is Iron Man. So, Iron Man is a rich dude.
I know he's dead.
Yeah, well.
Spoiler alert.
And I'm sure he'll find a way to come back to life. He's a rich dude. Smart dude, built this power suit of some kind. I'm going to put Jaylen Brown in this thing because he seems like the guy. Like, he's always at the MIT thing. I feel like
he's there again today. He's always at the media lab giving lectures.
I think I feel like he's going to be rich enough someday to maybe, and smart enough to maybe construct himself a suit of some sort.
Now, it works for me.
Okay. Captain America. That's got to be Gordon Hayward. Like, isn't he like, can't you just see some putting that suit on him? Like, he is like middle America. Like, he is Captain America.
I don't know. Marcus Smart could be Captain America now that he's on the Team USA. He's got muscles. I feel like I've seen a Photoshop of him as Captain America.
You did. And that was cool. I wanted to make Marcus Smart Black Panther.
That works. I could also see Jaylen Brown as Black Panther because I've seen that Photoshop as well. Yep. All my opinions are based on previous Photoshop scene.
Sure. Shemi Ojale is the Hulk, right? Like that's
on brand.
Yeah. I can't figure out who Thor might be.
Thor, let me think. He's got a big axe of some sort.
Yeah.
He's a space alien. Time Lord? I don't know. If Time Lord carried around a giant guitar, then maybe so. I don't know. I'm kind of lost on this. Which one of them is Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium? Isn't there a weird wizard character who does like green magic?
Would that be that Doctor Strange dude?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's Doctor Strange? See, if Kyrie was still around.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It'd be perfect. Who of the remaining guys would be Doctor Strange? I don't know. That's a tough one.
All right, I'm declaring that we're officially moving on because neither of us know enough about the Avengers to make this a good question.
You did it before I made my Tremont Waters Ant-Man joke.
Oh, well, I'm glad you got it in.
Okay.
This is from at Greg Casoli. Are you aware that Bradley Beal also has a son named Deuce? Now, I am not aware of this, but I will have to investigate. Does this mean his son is named Bradley Beal Jr. or his name is Deuce Bradley? I mean, Deuce Beal.
Deuce Bradley.
Deuce Bradley is a strong guy name.
That is a very... let's see. I'm assuming that he is... I'm assuming he named his son Bradley Beal Jr. and they call him Deuce.
He did. I'm looking at an Instagram right now where it's Bradley Emmanuel Beal II, and the hashtag is Daddy and Deuce. And so,
right.
I got to look at his birthday. I believe Bradley Beal's older than Jason Tatum, and so who was the original Deuce? I only have the brain power to recognize the one true Deuce, and that's Deuce Tatum. So maybe this is a St. Louis jargon thing that I'm not aware of, but I didn't know that, and it's appalling, I would say. There's only one true Deuce. It's Deuce Tatum, and Bradley Deuce, or Deuce Bradley, I refuse to recognize him.
I'm going to say, because I'm looking it up right now, Bradley Beal, officially parents of Bradley Beal II, July 24th, 2018. So he was born last summer. Where
Deuce was around.
Deuce was around.
Jason, the one true Deuce.
There can be only one. Born on my birthday. How about that?
Ooh, you and Deuce Bradley hanging out.
Yep.
Birthday buddies.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. He was born the day before. It was announced. It sucks. Yeah. Now it's totally different.
Now it's ruined.
Oh, wow.
All right, from at Real Mama Mia, Jeffrey Ma, who would win a fight? One, taco-sized Marcus Smart, done. I think that person wins. Or 50 smart-sized tacos. Loser must face Carson Edwards in a squat-off.
Jeez. 50 guys versus one. It's just...
Marcus Smart is like a pretty big and burly dude, and 50 of him, I think, would win no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, well, it'd be 50 smart-sized tacos, but if anybody that's smart-sized, 50 of those guys, oh my God.
Like, I'm sure taco-sized Smart could take out, what, a baker's dozen, maybe 20 of them?
Yeah.
But there's just a sheer numbers game here that I think it's tough to deny.
Yeah, I guess who's the fight? Like, who would win in a fight? In a fight with one person? I think a taco-sized Smart, my God, in a fight with one person? Either of those wins. But is it a fight with multiple people? Are they fighting each other? Is it one taco-sized Smart versus 50 smart-sized tacos? Like, too many questions.
Okay, what about one... Taco Fall-sized Marcus Smart versus 50 Marcus Smart-sized tacos. Not Taco Falls, but actual tacos.
Ooh. See, they would lure you in with their deliciousness.
I would hope so. That's their only strategy. But I think then you got to give it to the large man, because I think Taco Fall could eat 50 tacos in one sitting.
Oh, I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could. But are they... just regular old tacos, or do they have like some sort of like cognitive ability to have a secret weapon like salmonella-based cheese?
No, they're future tacos. They can they're definitely weapons grade tacos. Yeah. But
so they can lure you in and have you start eating them and then be like poison. So
But do you remember the show Celebrity Deathmatch?
Yes.
The claymation. This is like the exact thing that needs to be on Celebrity Deathmatch. These crazy ideas, because that show was fantastic. And we're never going to get a 7'7" size Marcus Smart unless we make it out of clay.
That's yeah. I think that's your August project.
All right, I'm gonna really study claymation and you know, get back on the air. This is at Daddy D. Lewski, and I think this pushes us for the over for Taco Fall related questions. Well, I said it before the show at 5.5, and I think this is our sixth. Say Taco makes the team in the Garden. The Garden would obviously need to put in a taco stand. What would you call it? Taco Town.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Taco Emporium. Taco Time.
I would say something like Falling for Tacos or something.
Ooh, getting a little last name punditry in there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think they could. They had an opportunity. If the Garden really wanted to make a taco related item, they could have capitalized on Taco J. How pissed off do you think Taco J is right now after the Taco Fall comes in and is stealing all of his taco headline? Oh, like, man. Taco J is not even a thing anymore.
No, it's gone. It's done.
And it's just like, it can't be a thing. I'm not, like, I'm no longer amused that he put 18 bags of Kraft cheese on every single one of his tacos.
He's going to have, like, one last desperate kind of, no, look, I'm still the taco guy. And he's going to, like, put it like a dump truck's worth of cheese on a taco just to, hey, look at me. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be pathetic. What they should do in this taco thing is make a 7.6-inch taco.
Ooh. Now there's an idea. That's something I can get behind. Although it would be hard shell or soft shell. It's a lot of questions. We got more taco questions from at Whitehammer 2469. Joey O, would you rather have the body of Taco Fall without the NBA contract or the knee tattoo of Jason Tatum?
Not a fan of Jason Tatum's tattoo.
Would you rather be 7'6" or have a pretty crappy tattoo?
I'd rather have the NBA contract and have the crappy tattoo. I can wear pants.
That's fair. If the knee tattoo comes with an NBA contract, I'm taking that. If it's just having a tattoo or being 7'6", I'm going to go with 7'6".
I'll be 7'6". I mean, if the money's not involved, but he specifically said being Taco Fall size without the contract – or have the tattoo, does that imply with the contract? Because you basically tattoo almost anything on me and I'd take the contract. I can get that removed. I can put clothing over it. I can deal with that.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. This range on question comes from at Jam Packard. He looks to be a very attractive individual. This is all my own crazy idea, but today it was announced that the Celtics purchased the main Red Claws. And I think that means they're destined to move the team from Portland to Maine, or from Portland to Boston, just because I think it makes sense to have your G League team be closer by, and I think they can make more money not playing in the Portland Expo Center. But just even if that's not true, let's entertain the idea. If the Red Claws move to Boston, what should the new name be?
The Deuces.
The Boston Deuces?
Yeah, just go with the Deuce thing.
I like that. I like the Boston Bean Eaters. I really like that the Capital City Go-Go are in Washington, D.C., but not called Washington. So I like the idea of using a nickname, but like the only thing that really works is like Bean Town, and that's such a terrible nickname Boston.
They get weird with that. You like the Boston 617s or something like that. Like,
the City on a Hill. That's just a good one. Just like straight the Hilltoppers. The Titletown Turkeys. I think there's a lot of potential.
Just sell the name. Just sell it to like Ernie Bach. Like just come on down.
Herb Chambers.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, whatever. Like just sell it.
How many bongs in the New England area have been named after Herb Chambers? I asked this question to the fans. Some people said the Worcester Irish people. Sign only lefties and call them the Southie Paws. The Boston Cream Donuts. I like the idea of the Boston Dunks, only if they're exclusively sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, I think that's perfect. Steve Merkel 9, one of the great meme lords, said the Boston factory in an homage to the Ogilvy factory. I think there's a lot of good ideas. I'm just all for – I think the Red Claws should change every single season. Just do something new. Do some wacky uniforms. It's minor league basketball. It should be more fun. I like the crustacean. I like the mascot, but there's an opportunity to do a bunch of different things. So I would go with that. This is a final question from Justin Edwards. Who has the most beautiful eyes on the team with Al Horford gone? Oh, that's a difficult question. Let me look up the roster, because no one's eyes particularly stand out at the moment. I know Kemba Walker has a winning smile, but let me look through these pictures. No one really stands out immediately right now. I don't think I can just give it to anyone. I think so. These things are earned, not given.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any. There's going to be something else. Maybe there is no. Maybe the eyes thing, you just got to let it go, and you just got to go with something else. Some other
feature. You can't force these things.
It's just a natural, you know, you're talking about falling in love, and you can't force something like that. I mean,
no, it's just when it happens, it happens.
I'm just guessing that this is your lane. Like, and I don't want to force anything on you, but I feel like the Al Horford eye thing was just a natural, like, oh, hey, like you just spot somebody in a bar and you find something that's attractive about them. It's like he had that, you know, those beautiful eyes.
You just slide your ticket across the table and tell your buddies, I got to go see about some eyes.
There you go. So something else is going to present itself. I feel like forcing the eye thing is a little, first of all, it's too much. We're moving on. Al's gone. The new girlfriend can't be this trying to replace the old girl. She's got to be her own.
She's got to be her own person. Yeah.
Gotta be like her own person. So
I mean, I like Carson Edwards' meaty thighs. Those are pretty cool, not as great to look at, but still pretty impressive. But yeah, I don't think we can force these things. I think we got to let the new team kind of develop on its own, develop its own personality. And there'll be plenty of things to latch onto. I'm already a fan of Le Grand Baguette.
Yeah.
Vincent, maybe his eyes in the Versace and all the cool stuff he wears.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe the Grand Baguette could replace all of Australia. Maybe that's a thing.
Ooh, I'm sure he can.
You know, I mean, I'm sure the French guy has things, you know, that will play.
The French guy's got things. The French guy fucks. That's perfectly clear.
Like I think that's the place where we're going here.
I think that's it. And then one thing that's come to my attention is. So there's this app called Cameo where you can pay celebrities just to say whatever you want. And Zach____E, a great member of Weird Celtics Twitter, paid Carson Edwards $25 to shout out the Riffs man and then say that Erotic City was back, baby. And it's the coolest thing that's ever happened. It is amazing. I didn't realize that it was so accessible to be start. You could just pay people $25 to say whatever you want. Like I had heard of this, but this is just taking proof of concept and putting it in action. It's fantastic stuff. Apparently, Tremont Waters cost $45,
yes,
which is also hilarious. But I just want to shout out Zach. I want to shout out the Riffs, man. I want to shout out Carson Edwards for presumably the company Cameo takes some sort of a cut. So he did this for $20, I would guess. It's only, 15 seconds of work, but it's just a wonderfully weird thing that we're able to do on the internet. And so I've retweeted it. Everyone go check it out. It's fantastic stuff.
I mean, look, I'm looking at this thing. You can get Cantor for $50. Tremont Waters, ballsy, $45. And the best part about Tremont Waters is he's doing it from, like, the cold tub at the practice facility. Like, he's standing there. There's like one where he's laying in bed. He's standing there in this tub, the pool at the practice facility. And he's just like sitting there in the pool, just recording his messages. Like, I don't know. This is wild. This is fun. I want to get in on this.
Yeah, no, my Venmo is open. And I will undercut any Celtics player $5. I'll say dumb stuff online.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I do it for free right now.
Well, now you're just undercutting your own value. But this is like, I mean, if Carson Edwards is booking for $25, I mean, that really, what could I possibly charge? A dollar? Like, am I even in the dollar range? If he's charging $25, I think I might be like worth 50 cents, which, you know.
I someone would pay that, though. You make up enough people doing that, and then you got yourself a nice little nest egg right there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you do that enough, that might be like a couple of beers or something. I will put my dignity on the line for a couple of free beers.
Let me embarrass myself for alcohol.
Yeah, I'll say whatever you want for 50 cents.
I feel like we would do that, and then someone would Venmo us like $5 and ask us to say something just really dumb, and we both go, this is a dumb idea.
This is a bad idea. It's absolutely how this is going to go. Like, I hope they have people who vet these things. Brett Favre got into trouble, I think. I think it was Brett Favre.
Yeah, didn't he support like a white supremacist or something terrible?
Somebody sent in something that sounded benign, and then it ended up having like white supremacist coding, and then he's like, oh shit, I can't do this, take that down. And so they got to be careful. But spending $25 to shout out the Riffs Man and Weird Celtics Twitter and say Erotic City is back, baby, that's money well spent.
Yeah, and at least I think Carson Edwards now has a concept that Weird Celtics Twitter is a thing. So maybe that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk to him about that. Because I don't know. This new group of like 18 and 19-year-olds, how are they going to accept Weird Celtics Twitter? Are they going to – is it in their wheelhouse? I don't know.
I don't know. If they learn from Marcus Smart, Marcus Smart the other day – just basically asked for all the memes of him ever created, and it was offering, like, I think, shoes or some sort of contest to the person who created the best meme. So clearly he is aware. I think Grant Williams is a self-described goof. He's going to fit in quite nicely. But, yeah, it's got to be startling. Like, you're trying to make it in your first NBA team. You're in a new city. You're away from home for the first time, and then you just get bombarded by – weird folks just talking about your meaty thighs and like really calling you meat buckets. And it's kind of be an odd time for Carson Edwards. So I'm glad he's taking it in stride. But you know, it's a difficult adjustment in his life in the NBA. It's even more difficult to adjust to life in Weird Celtics Twitter.
Meaty thighs is going to be something that I don't know how that I'm going to get through this with a straight face at all. All right. That's an hour-long podcast. 1 hour. That'll hold you over for a few days. Good thing this is the weekend podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. We enjoyed doing it. I think. I'm speaking for you. I'm putting words in your mouth. Did you enjoy doing it?
Yeah.
We
enjoyed it. It was a good time.
It was a fun time had by all. So go ahead and subscribe. Wherever podcasts exist, we're there. Spotify, Stitcher, Himalaya, all those places. However you're listening to us now. You found us now. Keep finding us the same way. Just do that over and over again. Give us that 5-star rating, a good written review as well. Those really are helpful. Go ahead and subscribe to other shows in the Locked On Podcast Network. There's Locked On Patriots. There's Locked On Red Sox. There's Locked On Everything. Go ahead and search for if you're a fan of the NFL or baseball or college football, all of that stuff. Search for your favorite Locked On. There's another podcast out there for you very likely, and if not, there will be one soon, so go ahead and do that and keep on listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.